As globalism transitions from global to local, we become vocal local, blocking the globalist agenda right where we are, in our towns, cities, counties, and states. And now, here is that nemesis of globalism, your host, William Roberts.
And the sun is rising over Missouri, folks. Time for a show me showdown. We got breakfast on the table all across America, coffee brewing on the stove, and there's still a revolution in the air. Be a part of it. And welcome to our Wednesday, June the 29th, 2011, two-hour broadcast of Become Vocal Local. Coming at you live Monday through Friday right here on the Oracle Broadcasting Network, oraclebroadcasting.com. Of course, my name is William Roberts. Always good news, hard facts, and workable solutions for you each and every day. If you can't remember the last time you experienced the pursuit of happiness, you're certainly not alone, but you are in the right place at the right time to become vocal local. This is the home of philosophical radicalism, where freedom is popular of all things and remains the best hope for America. Interactive Talk Radio is the name of the game. Be a part of today's broadcast. You can log on and bookmark becomevocallocal.com to engage in our chat room discussion. And that's becomevocallocal.com. You can also take the express lane and just go to vocallocal.org. They'll both get you to the same spot. Pick up the phone, call throughout the broadcast. For those with unlimited long-distance access or in the Austin, Texas area, you may call in at area code 512-904-8014. You join me live on air. And from around America and around the world, you can call in toll-free at 866-841-1065. And, of course, your calls will be welcomed. You may also send your ideas for guests, show topics, and news to me via email at bvlhost@centurytel.net. bvlhost@centurytel.net. Self digging my way out of the box of emails that I've got, but you're welcome to add to it. It's okay. There's plenty of room in the shovel for yours, too. And for those without internet access, listening by any of our affiliate stations and micro broadcasters, you too can be a part of it. You can send your letters to me at William Roberts, Post Office Box 96, out of Exeter, Missouri, 65647. Again, that's P.O. Box 96. Exeter Mo, the big Mo to me, 65647. Big shout out again this morning to Liberty Radio out of Owensville, Missouri, RealLibertyMedia.com, Channel 16, TalkStreamLive.com, all different ways to listen to this broadcast each and every day, and I thank you all for doing so. Anyway, the listener call-in number remains 866-841-1065. Call throughout the broadcast if you so desire. Precious metals traverse a narrow band. Equities and crude in the green on a U.S. dollar dip. We'll talk about that in the market segment. The Planning Commission, floodplain management, smart growth. Yeah, we'll talk about all of that today as well. Let's go into our market report for this morning. Active trading out of New York City as of 9 o'clock a.m. Eastern Daylight Time, but an hour ago found gold trading up $5.80. At $1,507.90 a troy ounce. Silver up 39 cents at $34.33 a troy ounce. These are bullion spot prices. Platinum up 25 bucks at $1,715. And palladium up 3 at $742. The lows and the highs in the gold market this morning, spot market, $1,501.70 for a low, $1,511.40, a $10 spread in there. For a high, but at $1,507.90, your gold is up $267.30 year-to-year for a 21.54% return on your investment in Arum, that beautiful precious metal. The SPDR gold shares overnight, they claim no change, holding 1,209.14 metric tons in their electronic treasure chest. We don't know what they have in their electronic treasure chest or if there is such a thing, but it is valued at these spot prices at $58.3 billion on State Street this morning. The Dow Jones Industrial Average yesterday closed up 145 at 12,189. The NASDAQ closed up 41 at 2729. And the S&P 500 up 17 at 1297. I guess they think things are going to work out okay in Greece. Anyway, crude oil this morning up 59 cents. At $93.59 for a 42-gallon barrel of light sweet crude, the West Texas Intermediate, delivered at the Cushing Hub in Oklahoma. We'll be right back. Much more to come.
Yeah. At hempusa.org, we offer chemical-free products to people around the world, detoxifying, self-healing, while rebuilding the immune system. We urge our listeners to please consider our largest-selling product, Microplant Powder. Our microplant powder is rich in silica and probiotics to help rebuild the immune system and to create a healthy stomach flora. Microplant powder is excellent for daily intake and is perfect to add to your storage shelter. We urge our listeners to please visit us at hempusa.org. And remember, all of our products are chemical-free and healthy to eat. We constantly strive to give you the best service, highest quality, and rapid shipping anywhere. And we offer free shipping on orders over $95 in the U.S. Please visit us at hempusa.org or call 908-691-2608. That's 908-691-2608. See what our powder, seeds, and oil can do for you at hempusa.org.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
Hey, how's that Frankenfood working out for you? You like it? Why don't you quit eating it and start growing your own high-quality, low-cost food? Gardening in a failed economy will teach you the methods that you need to grow food just about anywhere, even on concrete. Gardening in a failed economy will teach you to grow high-quality, low-cost food in just about any location, just about anywhere in the world. Download a copy of Gardening in a Failed Economy from distributedliving.net.
Across the sands of time, from the lands of Abraham to the lands of Julius Caesar, the medals of the earth were forged into the coin of the realm. Now you can own a piece of history with affordable ancient coins from the Greek, Biblical, Roman, and Byzantine eras, guaranteed authentic by Janus Numismatics. Transport yourself to the distant past at TrustedCoins.com. That's TrustedCoins.com.
This is Become Vocal Local with your host, William Roberts.
And welcome back to our Wednesday, June the 29th, 2011, two-hour broadcast of Become Vocal Local, coming at you live Monday through Friday right here on the Oracle Broadcasting Network, oraclebroadcasting.com. Back into our market report one more time, just in review. For those that are way at the top of the hour, news and weather break, station IDs and all that sort of stuff. Active trading out of New York City as of 9 o'clock a.m. Eastern Daylight Time. Found gold trading up $5.80 at $15.07.90. Silver up 39 cents at $34.33. Platinum up 25 at $17.15. And palladium up 3 at $7.42. All green in the Dow, the NASDAQ, and the S&P. Crude oil's up a little bit this morning. The U.S. dollar index is down just a fuzzy bit at 74.76. Of course, that impacts the foreign exchange rates for everybody's in the green except the Swiss franc, the Canadian loonie this morning, recovering some of the losses it's had over the last week or so, up 106 basis points, 1.06%, at $1.02 U.S. Good news for the Mexican peso, bumping back up again, up 23 basis points, and yet again at 9 cents U.S., so you can fill up your pockets with pesos at 9 cents a pop. The euro up 34 basis points at $1.44. Watch out for the Greek contagion. Some people are trying to throw in the towel on the euro. The British pound up 22 basis points at $1.60, and that Swiss franc off 33 basis points, yet still at $1.20. In the foreign exchange rates marketplace, the bonds markets this morning, the yield on the two-year treasuries, U.S. debt in bonded indebtedness, moving back up into pretty good territory at 0.48%. The 10-year yield is at 3.08 in the 30, at 4.34. In the mortgage markets this morning, the national average fixed rate mortgages, the 15-year fixed rate mortgage moved down again from 3.77% to 3.67%, trying to lure people into the mortgage markets. The 30-year moves down from 4.53 to 4.50. Your prime rate is locked in iron at 3.25%, and your gold-to-silver ratio stands at 43.92 ounces of silver, brings you home 1 ounce of shiny gold. The ICSC Goldman store sales came out yesterday. The Red Book will let them pass. Consumer confidence came out yesterday while we were visiting with Vicki Davis. We'll have her back again tomorrow for round number two on our discussion of foreign trade zones. This morning, the mortgage bankers' purchase apps are out. Pending home sales are out. We'll go to all of that. EIA petroleum status Thursday. Tomorrow, jobless claims will be out, and then the Bloomberg Consumer Comfort Index will be out as well. On Friday, we'll close out the week with motor vehicle sales, consumer sentiment, and so on and so forth. Construction spending, not likely to be good news. But let's go here and see this. Consumer confidence. How confident are you feeling this morning, America? Well, if you're not feeling too confident, you're not alone, but you're in the right place. Consumer confidence fell significantly for a second straight month this month, down more than 3 points to 58.5. So just, you know, keep those shekels in your pockets, folks. Stack up the gold, stack up the silver, because things are going to get worse. Both the assessment of current conditions down near 2 points to 37.6. And the assessment of future conditions down nearly 4.5 points to 72.4. The assessment of the current jobs market this month, unfortunately, has also deteriorated with 48. Doing a good job, Benny. Hey, Ben, doing good. Get that helicopter up, throw out some more $100 bills. We need them out here in the hinterlands. With 43.8% saying jobs are hard to get. Yeah, they are. Everything is down, including buying plans for cars, homes, and appliances. People are more concerned about being able to afford the next loaf of bread, I think. Also down, but which is a plus, are inflation expectations. Down a sizable 5/10 to 6.0. I miss the increasing the fluoride in the water in the cities. Low consumer confidence points squarely to weakness for the June employment report, and that's going to be the truth. Let's see what the mortgage bankers are doing. These bankster gangsters. Mortgage purchase applications for home purchases extended their June decline, falling 3% in the June 24 week. In results, well, Timmy, you're not doing a good job over there. In time for a latte. Buy some Krispy Kreme. Sit down with Benny and get to the bottom of this mess, please. Hurry up. Would you just step down, Pilgrim? Pilgrim's Society. Check that out. Just type that in your browser. Timothy Geithner, Pilgrim's Society. Anyway, applications for refinancing fell 2.6%, but unlike purchase applications, have been trending higher most of the month. Mortgage rates fell significantly in the week, down 11 basis points, but that wasn't able to save their bacon. Talk about jobs. Here's some jobs. Hispanics flee Alabama's immigration law. Margaret Newkirk writing this one for Bloomberg. newsy news. When Tuscaloosa, Alabama begins rebuilding more than 7,200 homes and businesses leveled by the April 27th tornado, it may find itself missing a workforce capable of pulling the city together again. That's right. There's all these jobs out there that Americans won't do. Well, that's what the spin is on this article. That's what Ivar Duarte, the head of the city's Hispanic Soccer League, probably never thought that would happen, huh? The Hispanic Soccer League. Wonder if they run different rules. Said after losing a third of his teams in a week, Tuscaloosa County's 6,000 strong Hispanic population, including roofers, sheetrockers, concrete pourers, framers, landscapers, and laborers, is disappearing, he said, before a law cracking down on illegal immigrants takes effect. Quote, they're leaving now, right now, Duarte, who is 36 years old, said, during a pause in a pickup soccer game last week in a neighborhood gym. Aren't they community-minded? I know people who are packing up tonight. They don't want to wait to see what happens. It started last week. Our league had 12 teams the week before that. Last week, it was 8. All right. Governor Robert Bentley signed Alabama's 72-page measure on June the 9th, calling it the strongest immigration bill in the country. Alabama became the fifth state to enact sanctions against undocumented workers, we call them illegal aliens around here, following Arizona, Utah, Indiana, and Georgia, where a federal judge yesterday blocked part of the restrictions. Tuscaloosa is getting an early gauge of the law's effects in its states. Well, trail of ruin. The tornado roared through Tuscaloosa, killing 43, leaving a path of rubble and ruin 3/4 of a mile wide and 6 miles long. That's almost exactly Cooker County, the same numbers of the Joplin earthquake or hurricane, tornado, which we'll talk about in a minute, but almost exactly the same metric there. 3/4 of a mile wide, 6 miles long. How do they do that anyway? You got to put your request in at HARP early or what? The law, which takes effect in September, threatens to unleash its own havoc. I mean, maybe they had a special on 3/4 mile wide and 6 mile long hurricanes. It's tornadoes, Will. Tornadoes. Whoosh, whoosh. Hispanics, documented and undocumented, dominate anything to do with masonry, concrete, framing, roofing, and landscaping. Said Bob McNeely, contractor with Nash McCraw Properties, during an interview at a coffee shop near a destroyed gas station and bank. Quote, "There are very few subcontractors I work with that don't have Hispanic workforces." What a testimony that is. City of 90,000 imposed a moratorium on major reconstruction that ends on August the 8th to enable it to plan its remaking. The rebuilding, McNally said, will be harder and more expensive without them. It's not the pay rate. It's the fact that they work harder than anyone else. Yeah, it's hard work. It's hard work. That's what Jorge Bush said. It's hard work. It's the work ethic, close quote. Well, there's some jobs, folks. You're looking for work? Tuscaloosa, they're hiring.
Hey, how's that Frankenfood working out for you? You like it? Why don't you quit eating it and start growing your own high-quality, low-cost food? Gardening in a failed economy will teach you the methods that you need to grow food just about anywhere, even on concrete. Gardening in a failed economy will teach you to grow high-quality, low-cost food in just about any location, just about anywhere in the world. Download a copy of Gardening in a Failed Economy from distributedliving.net.
Here's a great gadget that will enable your old FM radio to receive thousands of new internet radio stations. It's the size of a thumb drive, and it simply plugs into any USB port on your computer. Anything that you stream, Pandora, iTunes, this show through TalkStream Live, now plays on any FM radio. It's easy to use, sound quality is excellent, and has a range of up to 30 feet. The FM audio transmitter, including shipping, is just $29.99. Go to oraclebroadcasting.com and click on the banner right now.
Imagine no longer being tied down to your computer, but having the freedom to take live talk radio with you anywhere you go. TalkStream Live introduces our first ever iPhone application. The talk shows you follow now follow you, and your iPhone is now the fastest and easiest way to stay connected to the best talk radio on the internet. Let TalkStream Live transform the way you listen to radio. Listen to live talk shows 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Mobile talk radio from TalkStream Live. Now available in the iTunes App Store.
Thousands of years ago, from the time of Moses to the time of Alexander the Great, Julius Caesar, and beyond, TrustedCoins.com brings you an incredible selection of authentic Greek, Biblical, Roman, and Byzantine ancient coins, all certified authentic by world-renowned numismatic expert Ilya Slobin. Transport yourself to the distant past now at TrustedCoins.com.
The Oracle Broadcasting Radio Network is on a mission to bring you the best in cutting-edge talk radio. Oracle Broadcasting is a true beacon of free speech, uncensored news, and relevant information that depends on the support of listeners just like you. You can help us expand our reach and inform the masses. Promote the network by clicking the socialize link on the left-hand side of the OracleBroadcasting.com website. Using the simple tools provided, it is easy to spread the word about Oracle Broadcasting on social networking websites, blogs, news feeds, and many other ways with just one click. You can also help by becoming an Oracle Broadcasting member today. For just $5 a month, you get access to the member's stream that allows you to listen to all of the great shows from Oracle Broadcasting in 128K stereo CD audio quality. To find out more, go to oraclebroadcasting.com. And thank you for listening to the Oracle Broadcasting Radio Network.
This is the Oracle Broadcasting Network, the home of cutting-edge talk radio.
So as we can see, some of the blowback here, some of the states are starting to push back. Arizona, Alabama, Utah, Indiana, and Georgia going over the federal program, the mandate, and shutting down illegal aliens working in their states. And that's a good thing, of course, until we can firmly get addressed and until we can generate the political will in Congress to get us out of the United Nations and get rid of this international migration and development agenda. We're still going to have problems. You know, you can kick them all out of Alabama. You can kick them out of Arizona, Utah, Indiana, Georgia. But they just shuffle. And they shuffle and they shuffle quickly. This will tell you a little bit more about it again. But Hispanics, documented and undocumented, dominate anything to do with masonry, concrete, framing, roofing, and landscaping. The city's city of 90,000 imposed a moratorium on major reconstruction that ends on August the 8th to enable it to plan its remaking. The rebuilding, McNeely say, will be harder and more expensive without them. Blah, 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 high and dry. Gary Phillips, a former Tuscaloosa City Council member and president of a contracting firm. And imagine there's any graft or corruption going on that board. Premier Service and Company, Inc., also said he foresees pain for businesses. Quote, what happens to the large multi-story building going up at the time and the sheetrocker is halfway through his thing and the job is stopped? Phillips said in an interview at his lawyer's office, all of them are gone. They're under contract. And what are they going to do? What are they going to do? What they will do is pay higher wages to other workers if they find any with experience and skills, he said. Undocumented workers are weighing the risk. Lorenzo Posado, 28, said he's torn about leaving, changing his mind twice in one telephone interview. My boys are born here, he said. Yeah, no doubt, anchor babies. I like Tuscaloosa. A big part of my life is Tuscaloosa. What I'm seeing happening is that they put a bad law through the state. It doesn't make any sense. Who are you to even comment, chump? Why don't you just cross the river and just don't let the door hit you? Some contractors say a labor shortage is unnecessary. That's the truth. There are plenty of people capable of working if they just get off their butts and do it, said Rich Cooper, a contractor with Bell Construction, in a telephone interview. I mean, you get the illegal aliens out of the workforce and start paying something other than minimum wage, you idiot, and people will be more than happy to go back to work. The new law will help employ Alabamans. About time. One of his sponsors, State Senator Scott Beeson, congratulations, Scott, a Republican from Gardendale, said at the June 9th signing, this will put thousands of Alabamians back in the workforce. Labor Department statistics say workers are available in Alabama. The unemployment rate was 9.6% in May, down from 10.4% in December, and higher than 9.1% national average. In the past, Hispanics flocked to work in Tuscaloosa. The congregation at the Holy Spirit Catholic Church Spanish language mass doubled over 8 years to nearly fill the 1,000-person sanctuary. You want to know who's behind this rush to fill the United States with people from south of the border? Well, don't look any further. Your local priest, they've been on this drive for a long time. Catholic Church is up to its neck in responsibility here. Like Duarte in his soccer league, she's seen a recent drop. There were some hollow spots out there, she said, of the day's previous mass. So apparently the Catholic Church is having a little bit of a turndown in their attendance. They're not quite getting as many pences in Peter's pence pocket or something. Anyway, the tornado destroyed commercial buildings along one of the city's main arterial streets, leveled homes in rich and poor neighborhoods, said Councilman Tip Tyner. One of the poorest was in Tyner's district, and where most of the Hispanics lived, he said in an interview last week. He spent days trying to get constituents, including illegal immigrants, to safety. People were afraid to come forward. I got about 40 or 50 out to the churches, and it continues. All right? What it's basically talking about here is they're looking at the 149,000 Latino residents, okay, in Alabama. And then Alabama now has gone further than most in criminalizing assistance to illegal immigrants in the Beeson Hammond, Alabama Taxpayer and Citizens Protection Area. Beeson Hammond, Alabama Taxpayer and Citizen Protection Area. What's that all about? Hiring, housing, renting and to and providing transportation to them will be crimes. Employers, including subcontractors and temporary agencies, will have to use the federal E-Verify system to check a worker's legal status. The law also charges police and other officials, including those in public schools, with checking residency rights. It's good stuff. It's good stuff. Seeking labor, since April 27th, Tuscaloosa has issued 1,069 business licenses, of which 81%, or 870, were for concerns related to the storm damage. All right, so there's plenty of work to do, folks. If you're out there and you're a contractor, or if you're a builder, or if you're a frame and hammer, or if you know how to plumb, or hang sheetrock, or install insulation, do concrete work, flat work, foundations, etc., I would suggest digging your butt, put all your tools in the back of the pickup, throw in your sleeping roll in a little tent, and head to Tuscaloosa. But that's not all. Let's go over here and pick this one up and get into Joplin. Here we go. This is a local news story, June the 28th. Of course, we had the same problem up here. Most Joplin tornado deaths occurred where victims live. This by the Express Star. Joplin, Missouri, with half-hour advance warning, why did so many people die in the tornado that ravaged this southwest Missouri city? That's the question government officials are still striving to fully answer 6 weeks after the deadliest U.S. twister in six decades killed 156, injured many more. Storm experts said an obvious partial answer lies in the ferocity of Joplin's EF5 category tornado, with winds ranging beyond 200 miles per hour at its vortex. Again, this is a three-quarter mile wide, six-mile long disaster. There's not much you can do, said Bill Davis, chief meteorologist for the National Weather Service in nearby Springfield, Missouri. Maybe so, but a disaster research team from the Iowa State University that inspected the tornado ruins determined that many of the homes where people took shelter were not built to handle even a low-velocity tornado, and only a handful had basements, storm cellars, or safe rooms. 8,000 housing units and 500 businesses were destroyed in the tornado. Damage has been estimated at $3 billion. So there's another place where there's going to be a lot of work available. There's lots of volunteer work still happening on the cleanup. A review of 106 of the tornado deaths by the Joplin Globe determined that more than half of the people died where they lived, in their homes, apartment buildings, and nursing homes. 13 people died at the Greenbrier Nursing Home alone. 32% were killed in commercial buildings, churches, and St. John's Medical Center. The others died in vehicles or outdoors. Joplin's emergency management system sounded their first warning of the tornado a half hour before it struck at 5:33 p.m. Bad time, you know, people out and about in their automobiles. Another was sounded 10 minutes later. Television stations also warned of the tornado well in advance, but Joplin has few public shelters. And less than 20% of the homes feature basements or storm cellars, the safest place to take refuge during a tornado. Very few homes have reinforced wall safe rooms. The Iowa State team found no homes with so-called hurricane straps that secure roof framing to wall framing, making a structure stronger against high winds. Now, those are just very small little plates. They're about 3 inches long, about 2 inches wide, something like that. When I moved into this place, I went up in the attic, pulled back the insulation, went in and tied, strapped down all of the, installed what they're talking about here. And it's cheap, dirt bag cheap, only took a couple hours and, tied the whole thing together. But when you build a house properly, when you frame a house properly, these are the sort of things, these little nickels and dimes that the cheap shots will come in and skip. But these are just some very simple things that you can do to increase the strength of a house. But we're going to find out here that when you're trying to indemnify yourself through either your construction or your building codes or anything else against all of the things that the creator of the universe can throw at you, well, you know, yes, again, pipsqueak, 5'2", eyes of blue, you're not going to Gucci-Gucci-Goo the creator of the universe, and he's got stuff up his sleeve you ain't ever seen before. But there are things you can do. Another thing you can do is you can put in shear walls inside of a house. pick two different opposing, you know, perpendicular walls in the house and sheath them over with 3/4 inch plywood or 1/2 inch plywood before you install the drywall. That'll add a lot of strength. We'll be right back.
Edge Talk Radio, online, worldwide, at oraclebroadcasting.com.
You know the Constitution like the back of your hand. You've read books, listened to podcasts, attended lectures, surfed websites, and watched videos. You've made liberty your life's goal, but something seems to be missing.
Stickers! From LibertyStickers.com. Exercise your freedom of speech with the world's most dangerous bumper stickers. That's LibertyStickers.com.
But wait. There's more.
You can buy Liberty stickers wholesale. Get them for 99 cents each when you put 100 or more in your shopping cart in any combination. Sell them or give them away. They're great for gun shows, flea markets, fairs, outreach, and more. Earn extra money, promote freedom, and spread the word. Need custom stickers, labels, or decals for your organization or business? Liberty Stickers makes them. Go to LibertyStickers.com to order or call 877-873-9626. LibertyStickers.com. The world's most dangerous stickers.
At HempUSA.org, we offer chemical-free products to people around the world, detoxifying, self-healing, while rebuilding the immune system. We urge our listeners to please consider our largest-selling product, Microplant Powder. Our Microplant Powder is rich in silica and probiotics to help rebuild the immune system and to create a healthy stomach flora. Microplant Powder is excellent for daily intake and is perfect to add to your storage shelter. We urge our listeners to please visit us at hempusa.org. And remember, all of our products are chemical-free and healthy to eat. We constantly strive to give you the best service, highest quality, and rapid shipping anywhere. And we offer free shipping on orders over $95 in the U.S. Please visit us at hempusa.org or call 908-691-2608. That's 908-691-2608. See what our powder, seeds, and oil can do for you at hempusa.org.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
This is Become Vocal Local with your host, William Roberts.
And so back again, taking a look at this article. You know, I talk a lot about solutions and whatnot, but for those of you that are out there that are building a house, maybe you're going to think about remodeling a house, you know, starting from scratch, or after you're trying to rebuild after your house has got torn down. You know, most of the United States in the last 40 years or thereabouts, 50 years at least, we've used platform for framing, Western platform framing, to build houses. You know, used to use the balloon framing. That was a whole different story. We don't need to go there. Most people don't do that anymore. But with platform framing, the typical scenario is you come out on a site and you lay out your foundation, put that in, and then you come in and you put up a 24-inch stem wall around that foundation. All right, maybe a couple of layers, three courses of block, or maybe you'll just bring out some forms and form up a concrete foundation that stands up there. That'll all get backfilled around when the job is done. As you come in and then level out, clean out the inside after you've got that foundation set, then you put on your sill plates. Well, the frequency of the anchor bolts is important too if you're thinking about strength. You know, cheap Johns are out there. They're out there all the time, cutting corners here, cutting corners there. If they can save a couple of $100, you know, then they can get another 12 pack of animal beer on the way home. and they like to do that. But if you take your time and just do some very simple things when you're framing out a house, you can make them much stronger, and we don't need to have the code enforcement agent, you know, breathing down your neck. What we need to have are moral people actually out there in the workforce striving to build the best product that they can, you know. Now, a lot of the things that we talk about here are totally invisible to the buyer. So it's really the credibility of the builder that's at stake here when you go to get involved in the resale market. But like I said, there's, you know, Johnny Quickie, he lives everywhere. You know, I've had to come behind them suckers from time to time, and it's not fun. All right, I'm living in a house right now. There isn't a plumb wall in the house. You know what a plumb is? I'll find a plumb bob and figure it out. You know, gravity, you know, kind of makes things straight. Anyway, I guess they didn't have a plumb bob when they built this one, and they didn't set any of the doors properly either. You just unlatch any door and it'll either open or close automatically. Of course, it automatically opens and closes at exactly the wrong time anyway. But they're just, the doors are not hung. They're not hung square. They're not framed square. They're not put in plumb. And so the doors don't work properly. There's gaps and everything. And that's very, very costly and difficult and time-consuming to come in and repair. But what we're talking about here is trying to prepare for heavy winds. You're not going to be able to do anything for a 200-mile-an-hour wind. Forget about it. But when you got this 24-inch concrete foundation around, then the next thing you do is they come in and run in silt plates on that, and then they roll out the floor joists, and then they come on top of that, and they deck it across with plywood, and then you start erecting the wall studs whole wall groups. But all of these steps, step by step by step, there's just dozens of little things you can do, tricks of the trade, that can be done to make them much stronger. And as I said before, using shear walls, using the Simpson strap ties, their steel plates that you can buy by the box full. People are out there using nail guns. We've been using nail guns for the last 30, 40 years almost. Nail guns are notorious for having poor quality, usually Japanese or Chinese or imported steel nails. They would bend. You scarcely can drive one with a hammer. They're just worse than pot metal. So they're shorter because they're in these guns. They're not a full 16-penny nail. I like to hand nail everything. It doesn't take that much more time unless you're dealing with something big like an apartment building. But just hand nail everything. Space your nails properly. You know, I've seen places where young carpenters are out there with a nail gun, and they'll use five times as many nails as you would ordinarily. They just shoot those things just 100 miles an hour, go through clip after clip of nails. But you can do a much better job with carefully placed, well-set square nails, you know, put in properly, and it really increases the strength of the building. But then what I wanted to get to was that when you look at framing something like this up, one of the problems that we have here in Missouri is that we have generally a fairly high water table. We get tremendous rains, and that really causes a local flooding and ponding issue. And so a lot of people have gone away from basements. And basements are really good things to have, but you need to have the right conditions for a basement. But when you think about something like a tornado, you're going to get a few minutes of notice that a tornado is coming. The tornado is going to be right on top of you, and then it's going to be gone. And it's 200-mile-an-hour winds. They've got a force factor. They're running along 40, 50 miles an hour going down the road. You know, so you're not talking about having to be in your safe room for 3 or 4 days. And I'm just thinking that if when you get to the point where you put in a 24-inch concrete around you for your foundation, well, at the same time, find someplace like a center hall in the house. Well, before you put your platform in, before you put your roller studs out, your floor joists, come in and build something, let's say 6 feet wide and eight feet long and 24 inches high with a steel door that you can access right off of the floor. In the hallway. That way, if you're just right down to the very minutes and seconds where every moment counts, you can just leap out of bed, rush to the main hall, open up the steel door, and just lie down in this thing, lock the roof on it, and you'll be in a concrete box with a steel door on it, in moments, and you're not going to have to spend $40,000, $50,000, $60,000 for some of these safe rooms. You know, you don't need to have a place in there where you can ballroom dance and sit around with your radios for weeks. All you need to do is be safe and survive a tornado, all right? So anyway, just an idea. I mean, if houses came with something like that, it'd be a really great little place to store your valuables while you're away on holiday and all kinds of things. It'd be a very economical, easy addition to a house. But, you know, that's too common sense for most people. 32% were killed in commercial buildings, churches in St. John's, blah, blah, blah. The Iowa State team found no homes with so-called hurricane straps. The team also found many homes without fasteners holding the wall studs to the foundations. If the houses were designed more strongly, now this is where we're coming in. This is bringing in FEMA. This is where we bring in the International Code Council and their body of model codes and model acts. If the houses were designed more strongly, you could reduce the spread of total destruction to closer to the center of the tornado, said Bill Gallus, a meteorology professor at the Iowa State and a member of the team. So far, there's been no review of building inspections and codes to determine if construction in the tornado zone complied with existing regulations. All right? So it's going to get worse. The city council has initiated plans to strengthen building codes on new home construction to require hurricane straps, extra bolts to tie walls to their foundations. And then it's going to continue. All right? And so this is just a process. This is a step-by-step thing. We've gone through this before when we were looking at the FEMA's all-hazard mitigation planning system. If we, the people, are not willing to self-govern, if we're not willing to use our head and use, you know, the techniques and ethics that we were given by our Creator at birth, if we're unwilling, then, of course, government's going to step in. And that's something that we really do need to get away from. And let's see what we got here. Go to the next one. I think this one. Yes, I wanted to get to that one. I guess we can go to that. How about this one? All right. African economies would fail without women. This is Hillary Clinton. All right. Remember, from the Agenda 21, we've shared with you many, many times, there's a mantra that runs throughout all of Agenda 21, and it goes women, children, and indigenous people. Women, children, and indigenous people. Every section has a comment about women, children, and indigenous people. They're going to be the saviors of the world, folks. It's women, children, and indigenous people. Men, you might as well go on vacation. Go fishing. You're not necessary. Hillary Clinton's speech was met with silence from the male-dominated envoys at the African Union as she criticized the continent's aging autocrats. I don't know about these other countries, especially in Islamic countries, you know, when we send women in, you know, even the Bible teaches, you know, as Christ the head of the man, so the man is the head of the household. Some people really, you know, take offense to this idea of having women coming as ambassadors and secretaries of state. But here, this situation spells it out clearly. Hillary Clinton's speech was met with silence from the male-dominated envoys of the African Union as she criticized the continent's aging autocrats. The mood changed when the U.S. Secretary of State turned her attention to women. The women of Africa are the hardest-working women in the world, said Clinton, addressing the 53-nation body in Addis Ababa on June the 13th. Got that one right. Wow. Interrupted by loud cheers from the visitors area in the upper gallery in the back of the hall. She exclaimed, quote, if all women in Africa from Cairo to Cape Town decided they would stop working for a week, the economies of Africa would collapse, close quote. Well, there's your general strike. Seems to be working fairly well for the people over in Greece today, too. If African women were given equal access as men to vocational training and technology, the continent's economy would expand by at least 40%. So basically what Hillary is trying to do is to get the African people to do the same thing we did here in the 50s, where we no longer have Warden June Cleaver America. We no longer have mom at home raising the children, taking the children to church and school and things like that, and dad working the job. No, everybody's got to be in the workforce, and they all got to be equal, right? If women were given equal access as men to vocational training and technology, the continent's economy would expand by at least 40%. Well, of course. Everybody at work, that's a good deal. And then everybody can pay taxes, and then everybody's wages get reduced.
Hey, how's that Frankenfood working out for you? You like it? Why don't you quit eating it and start growing your own high-quality, low-cost food? Gardening in a failed economy will teach you the methods that you need to grow food just about anywhere, even on concrete. Gardening in a failed economy will teach you to grow high-quality, low-cost food in just about any location, just about anywhere in the world. Download a copy of Gardening in a Failed Economy from distributedliving.net.
Across the sands of time, from the lands of Abraham to the lands of Julius Caesar, the metals of the earth were forged into the coin of the realm. Now you can own a piece of history with affordable ancient coins from the Greek, Biblical, Roman, and Byzantine eras. Guaranteed authentic by Janus Numismatics. Transport yourself to the distant past at TrustedCoins.com. That's TrustedCoins.com.
Hey, how's that Frankenfood working out for you? You like it? Why don't you quit eating it and start growing your own high-quality, low-cost food? Gardening in a Failed Economy will teach you the methods that you need to grow food just about anywhere, even on concrete. Gardening in a Failed Economy will teach you to grow high-quality, low-cost food in just about any location, just about anywhere in the world. Download a copy of Gardening in a Failed Economy from distributedliving.net.
Here's a great gadget that will enable your old FM radio to receive thousands of new internet radio stations. It's the size of a thumb drive, and it simply plugs into any USB port on your computer. Anything that you stream, Pandora, iTunes, this show through TalkStream Live, now plays on any FM radio. It's easy to use, sound quality is excellent, and has a range of up to 30 feet. The FM audio transmitter, including shipping, is just $29.99. Go to oraclebroadcasting.com and click on the banner right now.
Imagine no longer being tied down to your computer, but having the freedom to take live talk radio with you anywhere you go. TalkStream Live introduces our first ever iPhone application. The talk shows you follow now follow you, and your iPhone is now the fastest and easiest way to stay connected to the best talk radio on the internet. Let TalkStream Live transform the way you listen to radio. Listen to live talk shows 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Mobile talk radio from TalkStream Live. Now available in the iTunes App Store.
Thousands of years ago, from the time of Moses to the time of Alexander the Great, Julius Caesar, and beyond, TrustedCoins.com brings you an incredible selection of authentic Greek, Biblical, Roman, and Byzantine ancient coins, all certified authentic by world-renowned numismatic expert Ilya Zlobin. Transport yourself to the distant past now at TrustedCoins.com.
Live Free or Die Radio with Lee Rogers, the most dangerous talk show in America.
Weekdays at 9 p.m. Central on Oracle Broadcasting.
Okay, so in Africa, the women of Africa are the hardest working women in the world, of course, and the illegal aliens in Tuscaloosa are the hardest working men in America, right? It's the same drill. It doesn't matter which continent you're on. It's a global agenda, folks. But you've got to be able to cut through the BS and get down to the gist of it all. If you can recall again, we've talked about this in the past. Some of us are actually old enough to remember how this all went down. I remember when the MasterCard and the Visa first came out. Oh, and then there was the American Express. Whoa, that was a whole different thing, baby. If you could show up at a cocktail lounge someplace and lay out that American Express card, whoa, everybody took notice. All right? So everybody was dialogued into this idea that you just, you know, hey, just put it on the card. You know, charge it. You know, who's got the card? Put it on the card. Running up $200 bar tabs in the morning when you sober up, to wish the hell you had more restraint. But anyway, if African women were given equal access as men to the vocational training and technology, the idea was, and we read this right out of that symposium in 1955, I mean, it's been a long time coming, it ain't new news, that they had a real problem. They had all the women at home, half of the workforce was untaxed and unemployed. All right? You can't control people like that. One of the problems that these people, you know, at the ivory towers have with folk that live in the country, is that mama knows how to run the farm. Yes, she does. And she's busy. And she ain't, and all the boys and daughters, all the sons and daughters, they're out there busy. And they ain't on the tax rolls. No, if only Pop pays the taxes. He also, you know, wears the pants in the family most times. Country women are pretty strong women. But they generally give the nod to Pop when it comes to making the decisions. Anyway, if African women were given equal access as men to vocational training and technology, then we could destroy their families too, right? The continent's economy would expand by at least 40%. Notice what would happen. Yeah, the economy would expand. Guess who's that going to benefit? That would be Lloyd Blankfein and all the cronies up at Goldman Sachs and J.P. Morgan Chase. Yeah, Wells Fargo. Right, you got it. Anyway, let's go a little further. The disparity is most evident in agriculture, which accounts for 70% of employment and 30% of the gross domestic product of sub-Saharan Africa. About 100 million women in Africa use only rudimentary farm tools. Well, yeah. What are you going to do about that? Bring in John Deere tractors and have a program? That limits them to cultivating at least an acre, 2.5 acres of land, which they spend almost 2,000 hours a year weeding. Well, yeah, that's right. A lot of people never tried a victory garden. A lot of people never tried gardening. As soon as you start gardening, you know why I'm saying that we got to do a better job than this. But anyway, yeah, 2,000 hours a year weeding, yeah, you'll do that. Weeding is literally breaking the backs of African women. Well, what's new about that? All right. Agriculture has been breaking the backs of men and women for the last thousands of years. That's why they call it back-breaking work. You think you're going to get free food out of a garden, off a farm? Guess again. You think you're going to get free milk out of a cow? Guess again. Some people think the cows give milk. No way. You've got to take the milk away from a cow, and you're going to work hard to get it. Anyway, zombie and business women. For Clinton, the plight of women has helped drive down an aggressive travel schedule. Talk about a footprint. Carbon footprint, here's one, that her office says has clocked up more miles than any of her other predecessors. She's gone 567,305 miles, visiting 85 countries in 232 days, eclipsed only by Al Gore's house. No, anyway, on the road since taking office in January 2009. She makes it a point to meet local women in impoverished nations. You know, Barry the Usurper does the same sort of a thing. He likes to spend a little face time with the locals. Of course, his wife is doing plenty of that, too. Ever go up and look at the whitehouse.gov? I swear to God, it was some African nation or something. Anyway, in Zambia, which hadn't hosted a Secretary of State since Henry Kissinger in 1976, I can understand that. I'm going to spend a weekend with Kissinger one time and just about query on all things U.S. Clinton was met by a singing and dancing chorus of local business women. Well, they like that, drum circles and that sort of stuff. They get trained into that by the United Nations. You know, they do. Anyway, let's go on to the next one, because things ain't getting any better. Everybody knows about the plight of Dominique Strauss-Kahn, the fellow from Egypt. Yeah, you got to watch out for those maids. All right, well, I guess maids a big business. Indonesia's maid trade thrives despite Saudi execution. I guess not only does Indonesia fill the world with maids, but Indonesia has filled the White House with trash. Anyway, Karishma Vaswani, writing this one for BBC News out of Jakarta, the execution of an Indonesian maid in Saudi Arabia by beheading, these guys take this stuff serious. Earlier this month, has failed to deter many workers still willing to make the journey from Southeast Asia to the Middle East. Interesting story here. The family of Rayuta Binti Sapubi. Wow. Don't want to have to call her very often. Wept quietly while others chanted Muslim prayers at her funeral. Huddled together in grief, it's hard to imagine what they're going through. Rayati was convicted of murdering her employer in Saudi Arabia. Boy, you talk about a labor dispute. Anyway, where she worked as a maid and then was beheaded by sword. The Indonesian government was informed of her beheading only after her death. See, we really need to get out of these countries, folks. They're not ready for prime time yet. They're not quite ready for the 21st century. We need to back off and get away and let them come ahead and develop on their own pace. Her daughter, Ina Nuraini, is now at the center of a media storm. She insists her mother suffered at the hands of the Saudi employers. I don't believe that my mother killed someone without a reason. It's impossible, she says, holding her mother's photograph, as if the photograph is going to testify to her integrity. She's a good person, blah, blah, blah. Now, here's the key. Indonesia has one of the largest migrant workforces in the world, okay? So not only did they send us our president, but they also send out lots of maids. and then they get all crossed up with the others, you know, with Dominique Strauss-Kahn and people like that. More than a million Indonesian women also work as domestic helpers in Saudi Arabia. Hundreds of thousands more are in Hong Kong and Malaysia. They send home, this is the key here, 7 billion or 4.3 billion pounds a year in remittances. See, it's the money that goes a long ways towards lifting millions out of poverty, taking a huge burden off that government. What's the problem with remittances? You know, when the people flood across our southern border, they come up here and they work hard, the hard work. It's all hard work. They work hard. They do the jobs the Americans don't want to do, right? And then what they do is they take the money, honey, that they earn here, and they send it back down to Guadalajara, wherever they live, all right, wherever they're from, Indonesia, wherever. So that's money that sucks out of our economy. All of those construction jobs, those guys making $100 a day swimming, you know, heart framing hammer, all that money, well, they only save enough, they don't keep enough just to get by, living in poverty, 10, 20, 30 to a room. They all ride together in the same pickup to work in the morning. Hey, I've been there. I know how it works. Anyway, they send all that money home. So that money doesn't go for shaves and haircuts. That money doesn't go for rent. That money doesn't go for automobiles. That money doesn't go for clothing. That money doesn't support the community of Tuscaloosa or Joplin, Missouri. No, that money goes back to the villages where these people snuck out of, all right? And it's quite a system. But it's huge. It's like number one or number two in Mexico as far as a portion of their gross domestic, you know, product, their income. It's money sucked out of the United States. This is the redistribution of money or wealth between nations, among nations, between nations. In Riyadi's village, life has very visibly improved thanks to the money that's sent back home. There's new motorcycles on the streets and mobile phones in the pockets of teenagers. It's the same picture in villages across the country. So all of the money that's getting robbed out of America, what's it doing? Buying motorcycles, cell phones. Wow. How benevolent. Doing pretty good, aren't we? Pretty interesting. Well, let's go to this one. Flooding forces evacuations in two Midwest states. All right. This is a continuing story. Flooding will force the evacuation of one quarter of North Dakota's largest city. Why not? Minot? Well, Minot got it too. And levee breaches forced 300 residents from a Missouri town as flooding worsened. Officials said on Tuesday about 12,000 residents of Minot, Minot, have been ordered to leave their homes. Built a big horse barn, one of the biggest barns ever built in Minot. A lot of fun. Those are really nice people. Beautiful, beautiful place to build out on a great, big, huge farm. Built a beautiful horse barn. Oh, man, it was very nice. Anyway, 12,000 residents of Minot have been ordered to leave their homes. Heavy rains across the Souris River Basin over the last 6 weeks have forced Canada reservoirs to release waters at unprecedented rates. In turn, the Lake Darling Dam above Minot will have to release water at rates beyond current protections. We continue to talk about this flooding, flood controls, flood management, planning commissions, all coming ahead right after this. Top of the hour station break. Stay tuned.
The Oracle Broadcasting Radio Network is on a mission to bring you the best in cutting-edge talk radio. Oracle Broadcasting is a true beacon of free speech, uncensored news, and relevant information that depends on the support of listeners just like you. You can help us expand our reach and inform the masses. Promote the network by clicking the socialize link on the left-hand side of the OracleBroadcasting.com website. Using the simple tools provided, it is easy to spread the word about Oracle Broadcasting on social networking websites, blogs, news feeds, and many other ways with just one click. You can also help by becoming an Oracle Broadcasting member today. For just $5 a month, you get access to the member stream that allows you to listen to all of the great shows from Oracle Broadcasting in 128K stereo CD audio quality. To find out more, go to OracleBroadcasting.com. And thank you for listening to the Oracle Broadcasting Radio Network.
You know the Constitution like the back of your hand. You've read books, listened to podcasts, attended lectures, surfed websites, and watched videos. You've made liberty your life's goal. But something seems to be missing. Snickers!
from LibertyStickers.com. Exercise your freedom of speech with the world's most dangerous bumper stickers. That's LibertyStickers.com. But wait. There's more. You can buy Liberty stickers wholesale. Get them for 99 cents each when you put 100 or more in your shopping cart in any combination. Sell them or give them away. They're great for gun shows, flea markets, fairs, outreach, and more. Earn extra money, promote freedom, and spread the word. Need custom stickers, labels, or decals for your organization or business? Liberty Stickers makes them. Go to LibertyStickers.com to order or call 877-873-9626. LibertyStickers.com, the world's most dangerous stickers.
Looking for great talk radio? You found it. This is the Oracle Broadcasting Network.
As globalism transitions from global to local, we become vocal local. Blocking the globalist agenda right where we are, in our towns, cities, counties, and states. And now, here is that nemesis of globalism, your host, William Roberts.
And welcome back to our Wednesday, June the 29th, 2011, two-hour broadcast of Become Vocal Local, coming at you live Monday through Friday right here on the Oracle Broadcasting Network, oraclebroadcasting.com. Now in hour number two, the first hour, as usual, market reports, a little bit of news. Now coming into this understanding of what is going on with the flooding, all right, we're going to go into this a little bit, then we're going to go into floodplain management, floodplain managers, and so on and so forth, certified floodplain managers, examinations, and all manner and sundry of insane globalist nonsense in the second hour. But let's continue with this article again. This is off of Reuters. Flooding will force the evacuation of a quarter of North Dakota's fourth largest city. Of course, we're still talking about Minot, North Dakota, all right? Heavy rains across the Soros Basin over the last 6 weeks have forced Canada reservoirs to release water at unprecedented rates. We're going to find out more about that in a moment. We've been riding a pretty thin edge, and regrettably, the storms over the last several days have really pushed the Soros Basin into territory we've never seen before. Completely got them blindsided, didn't it? Anyway, I guess Al Gore's man-made global warming didn't work out too well. Record snows everywhere. Anyway, record rains. It's tough to imagine that when all this is shaken out and done, that there will be any records that don't have 2011 stamped on them. Yeah, I would imagine that's going to be the truth. The Minot flooding forced Amtrak to suspend the Empire Builder service in part of Minnesota, North Dakota, eastern Montana on Tuesday. All seven riders were disappointed. Flooding along the Missouri River continues to take its toll on the levees in northwest Missouri. Now we're getting closer to home here. The 300 Craig, Missouri residents were ordered evacuated after two levees south and west of the town on the Missouri River were breached, and recently fortified earthen and sandbag barriers around the town were expected to be overwhelmed by water. Holt County Commissioner Bill Gordon said on Tuesday, "Water is headed this way. People are pretty stressed out." Well, this is a bigger story than you might think right off the bat. Let's see if we can get this one. Here's some more. Thune, this is off the Daily Republic. Thune requests flood coverage information. Now we're getting a little closer to home. By staff writers in the Daily Republic, Senator John Thune has sent a letter to Federal Emergency Management Administrator Craig Fugate, requesting clarification on the June 1, quote, flood in progress, close quote, date for the National Flood Insurance Program coverage. You see, now we're right back into FEMA's multi-jurisdictional all-hazard mitigation task forces. Right? It's only been a couple of weeks, haven't we? Been on this almost a month. Thune, RSD, issued the letter after meeting with Fugate on June the 22nd and speaking with flood victims in the Dakota Dunes, Fort Pierre, and Oklahoma last weekend. It doesn't make any difference, you know, whether it's flooding, whether it's tornadoes, windstorms, wildfires, locust plagues. It all works to advance the agenda, and they're going to get no shortage of ink to do it. Thune was briefed by Fugate. Now, Fugate was down here in Joplin recently in his big NIMS motorhome. Anyway, Thune was briefed by Fugate, along with Senators Chuck Grassley, Republican of Ohio, and Ben Nelson, Democrat of Nebraska, and Mike Johans, Republican of Nebraska. Johans. interesting fellow, that one. Thune said during that meeting, Fugate, quote, emphasized, close quote, that while June the 1st is the flood in progress date for the National Flood Insurance Program, NFIP coverage regarding the current flooding along the Missouri River, each individual claim would be assessed regardless of the date of a flood insurance policy was purchased. Right? Flood insurance policy. See, the county commissioners, once they sign up for the E911 program, they become, by default, when they're in the system, they become insurance salesmen. They become flood insurance salesmen.
HempUSA.org, we offer chemical-free products to people around the world, detoxifying, self-healing, while rebuilding the immune system. We urge our listeners to please consider our largest-selling product, microplant powder. Our microplant powder is rich in silica and probiotics to help rebuild the immune system and to create a healthy stomach flora. Microplant powder is excellent for daily intake and is perfect to add to your storage shelter. We urge our listeners to please visit us at hempusa.org. And remember, all of our products are chemical-free and healthy to eat. We constantly strive to give you the best service, highest quality, and rapid shipping anywhere. And we offer free shipping on orders over $95 in the U.S. Please visit us at hempusa.org or call 908-691-2608. That's 908-691-2608. See what our powder, seeds, and oil can do for you at hempusa.org.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
Hey, how's that Franken food working out for you? You like it? Why don't you quit eating it and start growing your own high-quality, low-cost food? Gardening in a failed economy will teach you the methods that you need to grow food just about anywhere, even on concrete. Gardening in a failed economy will teach you to grow high-quality, low-cost food in just about any location, just about anywhere in the world. Download a copy of Gardening in a Failed Economy from distributedliving.net.
Across the sands of time, from the lands of Abraham to the lands of Julius Caesar, the meadows of the earth were forged into the coin of the realm. Now you can own a piece of history with affordable ancient coins from the Greek, Biblical, Roman, and Byzantine eras. Guaranteed authentic by Janus Numismatics. Transport yourself to the distant past at TrustedCoins.com. That's TrustedCoins.com.
This is Become Vocal Local with your host, William Roberts.
Somebody out there that figures out how to get HAARP to create a plague of locusts will probably be the next billionaire on the planet. Anyway, back to this insane story here. Again, looking at the flooding, all right? National flood insurance. This is what's really behind all of this stuff, yeah? It's a real bummer for the people that, you know, are getting flooded out. But this is part of a long-term agenda. So those of us that, you know, study here at Become Vocal Look, our little home roof, home school classroom each morning, we understand the greater agenda. We can see through some of these stories, at least see the real story behind the story. FEMA issued a memorandum on June the 6th that said June the 1st, release of water from the Garrison Dam in North Dakota triggered a flood in progress in the Missouri River Basin. As a result, the memo said, Only policies in effect before June 1 would cover damage from the Missouri River flooding, even if the damage occurs more than 30 days after the policy was purchased. Most flood insurance policies go into effect 30 days after they're purchased. So once you get involved with this enhanced 911 system, once you get involved and you come on board with the FEMA's Hazard Mitigation Planning Program, as I mentioned in the previous segment and on the previous broadcast, your county commissioners basically become insurance salesmen for FEMA. And of course, everybody knows about, you know, AIG and the big, you know, State Farm Travelers Insurance and some of the big ones out there. And everyone equally knows, you know, it's a crapshoot. The actuarials, insurance actuarials, got this thing wired, all right, wired for sound. They always profit. They profit by the billions, all right? Whether they're doing cat bonds or whatever they're working on, they always make the big money. The big money goes to the house, and the guys that are sitting at the blackjack table, they get fleeced. That's the way it works, all right? But anyway, as a result, the memo said only policies in effect, blah, blah, blah. There is some confusion on this issue among people he has met who have suffered from flood damage. You see, with the insurance world that we live in, this idea of being able to take out an insurance policy to indemnify yourself against anything and everything that the creator of the universe can throw at you, that embodies, that embraces, and that brings on this idea of limited liability, as if somehow or another on your birth certificate, you can look down at the bottom and see a warranty statement, or you can flip it over in the back and find a guarantee that you're going to live long, happy, prosperous lives, lots of children, women, and 70 virgins. Well, it's not on my birth certificate. Probably not on yours either. If you get bit by a brown recluse spider in the middle of the night, you're going to be pretty well up to the in the middle of the night heading for your herbal cabinet and some compresses to get that, you know, taken care of anyway. But let's continue. From my discussion, and from my understanding of the discussion during our meeting, a resident of a home in Fort Pierre damaged by flooding from the Bad River, well, that should have been your first clue, Bubba. You moved in, you built your house right on the shore or the banks of the Bad River. That's like, you know, driving too fast around Dead Man's Curve. Ignorance we can handle. Stupid can be fatal. Anyway, Bad River might not necessarily be impacted by the June 1 flood. It continues, therefore, it's foreseeable that there could very possibly be a multiple flood events intertwined with the Missouri River flood, but still distinct from the June 1 flood in progress date that is directly linked to the increased water releases from the Garrison Dam in North Dakota. See? Directly linked to the increased water releases from the Garrison Dam in North Dakota. Well, just open the gates and flood the valley. You know, there's a lot of water hung up behind dams. Anyway, I would like to give you a clear indication about whether or not, in fact, we go back to Gustavus Myers, his book, The Great American Fortunes in America, you know. And, well, there were certain people that bought a country club together, a bunch of rich magnates, and then they built a dam, and they had a little recreation dam, and they were all upstream from a principal coke and coal and steel factory, and then they decided, after drinking scotches and toasting to their wealth, to blow the dam, and it flooded out their major competitor. It's funny how people work, you know, on the long pull. Anyway, I'd like to give you a clear indication about whether or not to advise individuals and homeowners in South Dakota to buy flood insurance right now. Everybody's rushing out, you know. Zero Hedge floats the story that on July the 15th, you know, you wouldn't be able to buy gold and silver at your local broker. And then the gold masters over there at GCN, Mr. Anderson, comes in and he's trying to give everybody specials on buying gold and silver early, right? All turns out to be a crock of crap. Well, it's much the same thing here, whether or not people should buy flood insurance now, get on the program. Hey, now's the time to advance that hazard mitigation planning system all across America as we go down each and every one of these river valleys. And we do the implement the idea of public buy-in. No, it's, buyouts, floodplain buyouts. That's right, floodplain buyouts. Well, here's another one. Let's get to this one. Let's see if this is the one I'm looking for. Nope, not this one. I'm looking for a particular article there that I pulled down. Let's see, maybe it's this one. Maybe it's this one. Here it is, real clear. No, that's not it. Yeah, about this one. Nope, not this one. Now about this one. Well, no, I don't see that article. Where did it go? And let's see, over here, maybe it's over there. Over there. No. Well, I had another article, and it's a long article, and I'll try and pull it up in the next break coming up soon. But that article has a lot to do with the story behind the story, all right? The real story that's laying in the background in regards to these various and sundry floods, and cover it from the standpoint of the environmental movement getting involved in here and trying to rewild the center states of America, all right? And it's a revealing article, but we'll have to wait until we come back from the break. I'll have to load that over the break again. But again, now this is some more information. The tools of a two-day floodplain management workshop, this is put out by FEMA. Once your town, your city, your county gets involved in these hazard mitigation plans, the first thing that's going to be necessary in your area is that you're going to need to have a floodplain manager. And the floodplain manager is going to work with your state emergency management agency and your county commissioners to get this system rolling. And so you can actually, I've got a copy here of the State of Missouri Emergency Management Agency, State Emergency Management Agency training application form. I was going to sign up and go through this program, Tools of Floodplain Management. It was a little bit spendy and it was way out of my way, so I decided not to do it, opted out of that one. But it's basically a process of going to a class and learning how to become certified as a floodplain manager. I thought it would be very useful for us, understanding then what's actually happening. Let's go through some more of it. Here's another one, and this is the SAVE volunteers. The SAVE volunteers. The Missouri Structural Assessment and Visual Evaluation Coalition. It's called SAVE, all right? Now, we talked in this previous article about framing houses, and can your house withstand a tornado? Could your house withstand a hurricane? Could it withstand, you know, the rupture of the New Madrid Fault, you know, and have an earthquake? Well, Dorothy, they got this stuff covered six ways to Sunday. What are the goals of the SAVE program? The goals of the SAVE program, which is an acronym, it's for the Structural Assessment Visual Evaluation Coalition, are to assist the Missouri State Emergency Management Agency, that's SEMA, in the following. One, implementing an emergency assessment of building conditions following catastrophic events. Two, maintaining a safety assessment administrative plan for volunteers to use in performing building and structure evaluations following catastrophic events. Three, developing and managing an acceptable training and accreditation program for volunteers. Four, maintaining a roster of volunteers. And five, developing an alert system. Quite a process. Volunteerism, boy, it works for government.
Hey, how's that Frankenfood working out for you? You like it? Why don't you quit eating it and start growing your own high-quality, low-cost food? Gardening in a failed economy will teach you the methods that you need to grow food just about anywhere, even on concrete. Gardening in a failed economy will teach you to grow high-quality, low-cost food in just about any location, just about anywhere in the world. Download a copy of Gardening in a Failed Economy from distributedliving.net.
Here's a great gadget that will enable your old FM radio to receive thousands of new internet radio stations. It's the size of a thumb drive, and it simply plugs into any USB port on your computer. Anything that you stream, Pandora, iTunes, this show through TalkStream Live, now plays on any FM radio. It's easy to use, sound quality is excellent, and has a range of up to 30 feet. The FM audio transmitter, including shipping, is just $29.99. Go to oraclebroadcasting.com and click on the banner right now.
Imagine no longer being tied down to your computer, but having the freedom to take live talk radio with you anywhere you go. TalkStream Live introduces our first ever iPhone application. The talk shows you follow now follow you, and your iPhone is now the fastest and easiest way to stay connected to the best talk radio on the internet. Let TalkStream Live transform the way you listen to radio. Listen to live talk shows 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Mobile talk radio from TalkStream Live. Now available in the iTunes App Store.
Thousands of years ago, from the time of Moses to the time of Alexander the Great, Julius Caesar, and beyond, TrustedCoins.com brings you an incredible selection of authentic Greek, biblical, Roman, and Byzantine ancient coins, all certified authentic by world-renowned numismatic expert, Ilya Slobin. Transport yourself to the distant past now
at TrustedCoins.com.
The Oracle Broadcasting Radio Network is on a mission to bring you the best in cutting-edge talk radio. Oracle Broadcasting is a true beacon of free speech, uncensored news, and relevant information that depends on the support of listeners just like you. You can help us expand our reach and inform the masses. Promote the network by clicking the socialize link on the left-hand side of the OracleBroadcasting.com website. Using the simple tools provided, it is easy to spread the word about Oracle Broadcasting on social networking websites, blogs, news feeds, and many other ways with just one click. You can also help by becoming an Oracle Broadcasting member today. For just $5 a month, you get access to the member's stream that allows you to listen to all of the great shows from Oracle Broadcasting in 128K stereo CD audio quality. To find out more, go to OracleBroadcasting.com. And thank you for listening to the Oracle Broadcasting Radio Network.
You are listening to the Oracle Broadcasting Network, the home of cutting-edge talk radio.
So I was able to resurrect where I put this article, and I found it again, so let's go into it. It's the purposeful flooding of America's heartlands. The purposeful flooding of America's heartlands. This is sent by a listener, American Thinker, June 29, 2011. The Missouri River Basin encompasses a vast region in the central and west-central portion of our country. And I'll just back up a little bit. The Missouri flood flows into the Mississippi. The Arkansas flood flows into there, along with many, many, many others. If you want to look at it, at the United States from the standpoint of the Mississippi River Basin, the watershed of the Mississippi River, you're taking up all the Louisiana Purchase. Now, you're taking up a lot of this country, most everything inside from this on the west of the Appalachians, on the east of the Rockies. Huge. All right. So let's go back. The Missouri River Basin encompasses a vast region in the central and the west-central portion of our country. This river, our nation's longest, collects the melt from Rocky Mountain snowpack and the runoff from our continent's upper plains before joining the Mississippi River above St. Louis some 2,300 miles later. It is a mighty river and dangerous. All this was known at the time of Lewis and Clark. None of this is new. All right, some 60 years ago, the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers, USACE, began the process of taming the Missouri by constructing a series of six dams. The idea was simple. Massive dams at the top, moderating the flow to smaller dams below, generating electricity while providing desperately needed control of the river's devastating floods. The stable flow of water allowed for the construction of the concrete and earthen levees that protect more than 10 million people who reside and work within the river's reach. All right? It allows millions of acres of floodplain to become useful for farming and development. In fact, these uses were encouraged by our government, which took credit for the resulting economic boom. All right? Now, none of this comes about, for free. This took a tremendous amount of human labor and capital and land to get it done, but they got it done. Let's continue. By nearly all measures, the project was, and we could say, is a great success. But after about 30 years of operation, as the environmentalist movement, here's the green weenies raising their ugly heads again, gained strength throughout the 70s and 80s, the Corps received a great deal of pressure to include some specific environmental concerns into their MWCM, Master Water Control Manual, the Bible for the operation of the dam system. Preservation of habitat for at-risk bird and fish populations soon became a hot issue among the burgeoning, Starbucks-swilling, camo-wearing, environmental lobby. The pressure to satisfy the demands of these political groups, this is the power of public opinion and cross-currents of public opinion, how they impact law and legislation, as we studied when we read from Albert Ben Dicey's book of the same title. The pressure to satisfy the demands of these groups grew exponentially as politicians eagerly traded their common sense for green political support, not only succumbing to the power of pressure of the green lobby, but also advancing this idea of pluralism. Pluralism. This is where we destroy a constitutionally limited Republican form of representative government and we go under the swill of the mob. Pluralism. Everybody's got a special interest lobbies. Things turned, the article continues, from absurd from there. An idea to restore the nation's river to a natural pre-dam state swept through the environmental movement and their allies. You know, this is the idea of taking back the United States all the way back to the time of Cristobal's Colombo, right? Adherents enlisted the aid of the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service. Everybody heard the broadcast last past Sunday with Mel Hallett, Jim Beers, Darren Weeks. Very interesting take on that. I always enjoyed Jim's presentations. But again, an idea to restore the nation's rivers to a pre-dam state, a natural state. You know, Arkansas, the natural state. Hillary, Billary, and non. Adherents enlisted the aid of the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service asking for an updated biological opinion that would make the ecosystem restoration an authorized purpose of the dam system. What a damn idea that was. The Clinton administration, through its support behind the change, of course, we came up with his name yesterday, didn't we, with Vicki Davis when we were going through the timeline. The Clinton administration, through its support behind the change, officially shifting the priorities of the Missouri River dam system from flood control, facilitation of commercial traffic and recreation to habitat restoration, wetlands preservation, and culturally sensitive and sustainable biodiversity. Going down the hill rapidly now. Congress created a committee to advise the Corps on how best to balance these competing priorities. The Missouri River Recovery and Implementation Committee has 70 members. You talk about a mess, there's a mess. Only four represent interests other than environmentalism. You want to get a little common sense into that council, unelected board and council? Don't hold your breath. The recommendations of the committee, as one might expect, have been somewhat less than even-handed. The Corps began to utilize the dam system to mimic the previous flow cycles of the original river, holding back large amounts of water upstream during the winter and early spring in order to release them rapidly as a spring pulse. One hell of a spring pulse now. Why not Minot getting swept away? Oh, my God. From stupider to stupider. The water flows would then be restricted to facilitate a summer drawdown of stream levels as all of the levees up and down the river have blown out, endangering the new Nebraska, isn't it? Nuclear power plant. This new policy was highly disruptive to barge traffic. There goes commerce. And caused frequent localized flooding. Brilliant guess, huh? But a multi-year drought masked the full impact of the dangerous risk the Corps was taking. In other words, after a long series of droughts, they conducted the same program without looking into the watershed and going up into the mountains and seeing how much snow was up there. And it bit them in the butt. This year, despite more than double the usual amount of mountain and high plain snowpack and the ever-present risk of strong spring storms, and we've had rain almost every weekend since the beginning of the year here in Missouri, the true believers in the Corps have persisted in following the revised MWCM, recklessly endangering millions of residents downstream. Missouri Senator Roy Blunt, Roy Blunt, the arm twister, the dwarf, little brown dwarf. Now he's kind of a gray dwarf, actually. Always has to have a box to stand on when he's behind a podium. He won't be able to see anything except his head. Calling the management plan flawed and poorly thought out, Senator Blunt characterized the current flooding as entirely preventable and told reporters he intends to force changes to the plan. Well, that'd be good, Roy. Please get on it. Perhaps not everyone feels the same apprehension towards the imminent disaster. At the time of this rewriting, the Corps is scrambling for political cover, repeatedly denying that it had any advance warning of the potential for this catastrophe. Never believe your lying eyes. Just believe what Ted Turner tells you, right? The official word is that everything was just fine until unexpectedly heavy spring rains pushed the system past the tipping point. Apparently they hadn't planned that one, hadn't been watching the weather. And I guess they weren't in cahoots with HARP. You know, HARP can do all kinds of funny things. On February the 3rd, 2011, a series of emails from Fort Pierre, South Dakota Director of Public Works Brad Lawrence sounded the alarm loud and clear in the correspondence to the headquarters of the American Water Works Association, Washington, D.C. Lawrence warned the Corps of Engineers had failed thus far to evacuate enough water from the main stem reservoirs to meet normal runoff conditions. Well, you know the rest of the story.
This is OracleBroadcasting.com.
You know the Constitution like the back of your hand. You've read books, listened to podcasts, attended lectures, surfed websites, and watched videos. You've made liberty your life's goal. But something seems to be missing.
Stickers from LibertyStickers.com. Exercise your freedom of speech with the world's most dangerous bumper stickers. That's LibertyStickers.com.
But wait. There's more.
You can buy Liberty stickers wholesale. Get them for 99 cents each when you put 100 or more in your shopping cart in any combination. Sell them or give them away. They're great for gun shows, flea markets, fairs, outreach, and more. Earn extra money, promote freedom, and spread the word. Need custom stickers, labels, or decals for your organization or business? Liberty Stickers makes them. Go to LibertyStickers.com to order or call 877-873-9626. LibertyStickers.com. The world's most dangerous stickers.
At HempUSA.org, we offer chemical-free products to people around the world, detoxifying, self-healing, while rebuilding the immune system. We urge our listeners to please consider our largest-selling product, Microplant Powder. Our Microplant Powder is rich in silica and probiotics to help rebuild the immune system and to create a healthy stomach flora. Microplant Powder is excellent for daily intake and is perfect to add to your storage shelter. We urge our listeners to please visit us at hempusa.org. And remember, all of our products are chemical-free and healthy to eat. We constantly strive to give you the best service, highest quality, and rapid shipping anywhere. And we offer free shipping on orders over $95 in the U.S. Please visit us at hempusa.org or call 908-691-2608. That's 908-691-2608. See what our powder, seeds, and oil can do for you at hempusa.org.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
This is Become Vocal Local with your host, William Roberts.
And so we're back again on the last half hour of today's two-hour broadcast. We're talking about all kinds of things today, mostly smart growth, sustainable development, Agenda 21, the sort of things we discuss here every day, all right? One way or another, all right? There's 10,000 parts to this big puzzle, and we need to understand all of this so we're going to be effective right where we are. The whole idea of blocking globalism in our towns, our cities, and our counties, and our states is first we need to inform ourselves and find out all of the documentation that we need to present at these various Soviets, councils, and boards as they come together. A great source of this is the one of the places that they themselves go. All right, I always like to go get their books and then read their books and then teach their books to them. It's like being the Park Ranger Interpretive Center for Agenda 21, right? We're going to interpret these documents to those that are not intellectually savvy. Anyway, you can do this by going up to the Environmental Protection Agency, United States Environmental Protection Agency, that'd be the EPA. They have a little pamphlet I got years ago, and it's called Selected Smart Growth Publications from the Smart Growth Network. Smart Growth Network. This report is available online at www.epa.gov/smartgrowth. And when you get to that website, click on Publications. For additional hard copies of this report, they say, call the EPA's National Center for Environmental Publications. Here's the telephone number, 513-891-6561. Grab your pencil and get that ready, and I'll give it to you again. Got your pencils ready? You got a notepad open on your browser? 513-891-6561. You want to ask for a publication number, EPA-231-R-02-001. Again, that's EPA-231-R-02-001. And if they still have it, they'll send it out to you, all right? I don't know how long it's been since I've checked with them on it, but it's been a while. Smart Growth Primers. There's lots of stuff you can get in your toolbox here. Smart Growth Primers. They've got a Rethinking the American Dream, Smart Growth Myth and Fact, Best Development Practices. You know, you've heard about it 100 times, best practices, experts say. Smart Growth, ULI on the Future, Smart Growth Economy, Community, Environment, Urban Land Institute puts it out. Why Smart Growth, the primer, International City Council, City County Management Association. The International City County Management Association, interesting publication. Getting to Smart Growth, 100 Policies for the Implementation. I've got that one in my library. Solving Sprawl, Models of Smart Growth in Communities Across America. I'm just reading you the titles. These are books you can get. The Coming Demand, that would be the coming sustainable development. Challenging Sprawl, Organizational Responses to a National Problem. Once There Was Greenfields, How Urban Sprawl is Undermining Americans' Environmental Economy and Social Fabric. Planning Communities for the 21st Century, a special report of the American Planning Association's Growing Smart Growth Projects. Sprawl Busting, Cities Back from the Edge, New Life for Downtown, blah, blah, blah. Goes on and on and on. All right. So I shared with you a little bit off this big article here. They're talking about committees, some 70 of these environmentalists sitting on a committee that we can lay the blame at their feet for all of the flooding that's going on here, this mismanagement of our natural resources by those that have been hired at great cost and empowered to be in charge of these things, and they are responsible for these problems, and they need to be held accountable for these problems. And this commission of 70 people ought to be disbanded and perhaps then brought before a trial and reviewed. Committee organization, back into our discussion out of the introduction to business, Gloss and Baker. Committee organization, the committee organization type is one in which a formally constituted group drawn from those associated with a firm, we can think of these as the environmental and developmental concerns, which includes all of the United Nations sanctioned, non-governmental organizations, NGOs, the public-private partnerships here. But again, the committee organization type is one in which a formally constituted group drawn from those associated with a firm replaces an individual at any or all supervisory levels. So we don't use thinkers anymore. Now we just get a room full of stinkers. Although here itemized as a separate type of organizational structure, it is rarely used except as a modification of one of the types already described. So we're looking at these, you know, United States of America Corporation and your local state, and, you know, this state incorporated, this artificial overlay that lies over the boundaries, the meets and bounds, flesh and blood, man on the land. You reach down and pick up some dirt in the state, but you can't do that in this state. That's all legal fiction. But anyway, very rarely do you ever get involved with these committees. Well, at least not in 1967 when this publication was put out. This is a college textbook, by the way, I'm reading from. It says it's rarely used except as a modification of one of the types already described. Today, it's almost the standard forte. Most frequently, this plan is incorporated into a line and staff organization with a committee that replaces a staff officer or that provides additional advisory functions. Much is to be said for incorporating committees into an organization structure. If nothing else, the committee form allows several people to have an influence in making decisions that will probably affect their work, and the understanding of the background makes for a more enthusiastic acceptance of the new policy. And that's important. Highlight it. Underline it. When you feel as though you're part of the system, when you feel you're part of the decision-making process, you'll work more tirelessly to implement it. And that's what Agenda 21 is all about. This is what voluntary compliance is all about. This is how the ICLEI cities go on. You take these, you know, housewives and grocery clerks and stuff like that. You put them all in a room and you give them a fancy hat and a bunch of Krispy Kreme donuts and some Starbucks coffee. And you give them a little bit of recognition that they never had before in their life. And these frumpy frumpos come in and they think all of a sudden that they know what's best for you and how you should live. And they dialogue us all into this consensus of a global collective. Continuing, the old adage that two heads are better than one is probably true. And the ultimate report of a committee combining the judgment of several individuals is likely to be better than one man's opinion. Well, obviously, if one man's opinion is good, then two opinions would be better, and four would be better, and 8, and 16, and 32, and 64, and 128, and 256, and you get a polyglot, and you got 70 of these green weenies sitting around the table, and they couldn't plan their way out of a bag. Anyway, furthermore, decisions reached by committees are less personal. Absolutely. What's important about that? Well, what's important about that is that there's no one to be held accountable. We all understand it was the committee's responsibility, but, you know, no one can do it alone, but together we can. But you can't hang them all, or can you? Can we build a 70-hole palace of justice and get plenty of rope from Canada, hemp rope? Committee organization has its drawbacks, too. It's usually a slow method of arriving at a decision. Yeah. The whole damn continent is flooded and washed away, and they're still trying to figure out whether they should save the darter or the snail. Anyway, it's usually a slow method of arriving at a decision, and sometimes important matters are held up by committees. Congress is famous for this. Time is spent on argument rather than action. Okay? They don't bring the facts, the law, and their evidence. No, it's all argument. A bunch of bickering, you know, insane children and adolescents running the asylum. Time is spent on argument rather than on action. Frequently, committee decisions are compromises. Never compromise your principles for a relationship, my friends. When the only hope of success would be vigorous prosecution of one viewpoint or the other, they get involved and bogged down in appeasement and compromise. Also, the chances of securing action on a committee report are less than when one executive is interested in seeing his own ideas placed into operation. A somewhat different criticism of committees is that this organization form may usurp, love the use of that word here, the decision-making functions of executives. So you've got the State Department and you've got the Department of Defense, and they're all out there usurping the usurper's authority, and as a result, we all go to hell in the same handbasket. Well, back into this discussion, the Planning and Zoning Commission... Again, this was one of those lucky finds. Someone on a planning board happened to pass this to me, and so I have it. But this is put out so that people who are new, they find themselves on one of these unelected boards or councils, they understand what their duties and responsibilities are and how they can get started in the process. And if you go back in the archives, we've shared a little bit of this in the past. But let's just pick up here. We're talking again about the idea of planning, community planning, land use planning, planning and zoning, comprehensive planning and zoning, the implementation of the hazard mitigation planning system. In a great many cases, the author's right here, regrettably, the community is not impressed with the need for action. See, committees, no action, all compromise. Until some particularly unfortunate occurrence in a community development takes place. So you got a flood, you got a locust plague, you got a windstorm, you got a ice storm, and then things can really happen.
Hey, how's that Frankenfood working out for you? You like it? Why don't you quit eating it and start growing your own high-quality, low-cost food? Gardening in a failed economy will teach you the methods that you need to grow food just about anywhere, even on concrete. Gardening in a failed economy will teach you to grow high-quality, low-cost food in just about any location, just about anywhere in the world. Download a copy of Gardening in a Failed Economy from distributedliving.net.
Across the sands of time, from the lands of Abraham to the lands of Julius Caesar, the metals of the earth were forged into the coin of the realm. Now you can own a piece of history with affordable ancient coins from the Greek, Biblical, Roman, and Byzantine eras, guaranteed authentic by Janus Numismatics. Transport yourself to the distant past at TrustedCoins.com. That's TrustedCoins.com.
Hey, how's that Frankenfood working out for you? You like it? Why don't you quit eating it and start growing your own high-quality, low-cost food? Gardening in a failed economy will teach you the methods that you need to grow food just about anywhere, even on concrete. Gardening in a failed economy will teach you to grow high-quality, low-cost food in just about any location, just about anywhere in the world. Download a copy of Gardening in a Failed Economy from distributedliving.net.
Here's a great gadget that will enable your old FM radio to receive thousands of new internet radio stations. It's the size of a thumb drive, and it simply plugs into any USB port on your computer. Anything that you stream, Pandora, iTunes, this show through TalkStream Live, now plays on any FM radio. It's easy to use, sound quality is excellent, and has a range of up to 30 feet. The FM audio transmitter, including shipping, is just $29.99. Go to oraclebroadcasting.com and click on the banner right now.
Imagine no longer being tied down to your computer, but having the freedom to take live talk radio with you anywhere you go. TalkStream Live introduces our first ever iPhone application. The talk shows you follow now follow you, and your iPhone is now the fastest and easiest way to stay connected to the best talk radio on the internet. Let TalkStream Live transform the way you listen to radio. Listen to live talk shows 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Mobile talk radio from TalkStream Live. Now available in the iTunes App Store.
Thousands of years ago, from the time of Moses to the time of Alexander the Great, Julius Caesar, and beyond, TrustedCoins.com brings you an incredible selection of authentic Greek, Biblical, Roman, and Byzantine ancient coins, all certified authentic by world-renowned numismatic expert Ilya Slobin. Transport yourself to the distant past now at TrustedCoins.com.
Hi, this is Mike Chambers. Join me live weekdays from Mike Chambers Live from 11 to 3 p.m. Central Time here on the Oracle Broadcasting Network.
So once again, if you want that little booklet, 10K Puddles in the chat room dove into hard work there and came up with a telephone number, you can call in, call 800-490-9198. I'll give it again. It's 800-490-9198. So not only is the telephone call free, but so is the pamphlet, Selected Smart Growth Publications from the Smart Growth Network, even if you get nothing more than the pamphlet. And just read the titles and the descriptions of the various books. If you do no more than that, you'll start to understand why it has been necessary for us to be on the air bringing this information to you for the past years. No way can this be covered in just one day. You know, we've got a lot of people that are just new into this. You know, they maybe been involved, woke up to Agenda 21 a year or two ago, you know, had their ox gored in their town and they got busy. But there's no way that you're going to get the size of this process in just one tap. You know, you come to the wellspring of life with a teaspoon and you come away thirsty, but if you bring in a tank car, sometimes you'll get enough. And that's the life of abundance as opposed to austerity. But back into this discussion again. And this, what am I reading? What am I sharing? All right, this is the Planning and Zoning Commission. This is a workbook. This is a how-to book. This is an introductory primer to those that find themselves appointed to or elected to a planning commission. This is the material that's handed to them. This is what they get in their eyes. This is what they know about the topic, all right, generally. So it continues here, and it says, this may take, let's back up. In a great many places, regrettably, the community is not impressed with the need for action until some particularly unfortunate occurrence in the community development takes place. And as we said, the ideal is something like a tornado. This may take the form of a poorly designed and improperly planned subdivision of overwhelming proportions. Now, of course, this is a problem between the developer and the developer's engineers and land surveyors, not the community. All right? The developer ought to just, you know, slap this engineering company upside the head. It should never have poorly designed or improperly planned subdivisions of overwhelming proportion. If it's overwhelming proportion, it caused, you know, there's plenty of money there to do a good job. Or a piecemeal zoning change to satisfy special interests. Or uses of variances to allow supermarkets in residential zones. Or even the pollution of water supply. So they're sowing the seeds. All right, they're sowing the seeds. You're going to come in before a planning commission and you're going to have your idea. You've got a big subdivision that you want to do. There's a big farm out here. They've got 300 acres. And we're going to subdivide this and we're going to build houses, all right? We're going to pave paradise and we're going to charge people $1.50 to see it. Or you're going to come into some place and you want to build a supermarket because you've got a very big residential area. You want to build one of these Wally Worlds, all right? And so you do that. But this is the key for the planning commission members to say, wait a minute. And they will. The author writes, I remember a community whose officials I had attempted on many occasions to interest in planning in advance of the building boom. All right, so this guy's obviously a change agent, probably a member of the American Planners Association. They would have none of it, could not, in fact, be bothered even to prepare and enact a zoning ordinance. Shortly after the Second World War, the community underwent development at an astronomical rate. Well, all of America did. 3,000 homes were built in 2 years, many of them on 6,000 square foot lots with individual septic tanks. That's not a good plan. Unfortunately, the underlying soil was practically impervious hardpan. Well, you should never put a septic tank there, knucklehead. And the resulting health hazards soon became obvious, no doubt. When seepage began to trickle through the subdivision streets and the pavement itself began to slide downhill. Now, all of this, you know, this happens maybe once out of 1,000 times. But these are the kind of things that you can document. And if you've got those in, you know, your clippings file and you happen to be a change agent, you're working in some community trying to get them to implement planning and zoning and bringing on the body of model codes and model acts promulgated by the ICC group, the International Code Council, this is the kind of stuff that opens doors and closes sales, all right? Unfortunately, the underlying soil, blah, blah, blah. Needless to say, there was a great scurry to organize a planning board, yeah, and to enact zoning ordinances, yeah. Through haste, the community obtained a zoning ordinance of lower quality than it should have, and much of the time and energy spent on planning was wasted. But no zoning could have corrected the multiplicity of errors which had been allowed to occur. And there's a lot of truth to that. There's a lot of truth to that. When you fail to plan, you plan to fail. But this can be done step by step by step as your town, Smithville, Jonestown, continues to grow over the years. But you need intelligent people, okay? You need intelligent people who are awake and are self-reliant, people who have actually done something in their life, maybe some people that actually have some prior education, some prior experience. And you can do this on an individual situation. But unfortunately, that's not the way it works. Once a planning board has been organized, you know, if we won't govern ourselves, by damn, someone else is going to govern us. As I like to say, if we're going to be the replacement set, I've said it 1,000 times probably by now, I don't know where gold is going to be. I don't know where silver is going to be at the end of this hyperinflation, deflation, recession, depression, or whatever it is, but I guarantee you this, 99.9% accurate prediction here, and I'm not a prophet. There will be government. You don't know where gold's going to be, you don't know where silver's going to be, but there will be government. In Greece, in Portugal, in Italy, in Ireland, in Spain, there will be government. And it's either going to be a government of our choosing, or it's going to be a government chosen for us by others. If we're not willing and able to step up to the task, then somebody else is going to fill that gap. Government abhors a vacuum. But once a planning board has been organized, there's still the question of where it fits into the organizational structure of the community. Now we're right back into our study of business and business plans and organizations and models and systems analysis. Normally, enabling acts indicate that most of the members of the planning board are to be appointed by the mayor. Appointed, unelected, unaccountable, appointed boards, patronism, all that. It's all there. The appointments may or may not be subject to the approval of the governing body. So, you know, it's all just a big boys club at that point. Do they have any real experience? Are they knowledgeable about all this? They weren't elected to serve on the board. You can't get rid of them. Some of them just sit on every board. You'll find that if you read your local newspapers. The same faces appear over and over and over again. And most of them are members of the county commission. Many of them are people that are part of the county committee for the political party that's in power right where you are. Rahm Emanuel and all 12 of his friends. And they occupy and people every board and every council. In the case of a mayor-council form of government, it's usually understood that the planning board is a part of the administrative office of the mayor. It's just like having a secretary of state, you know. Although the board reports to the council generally, it's primarily responsible to the mayor. This, at least, is the position that the planning function should occupy. It's intended as an advisory arm of the administration of local governments. This is how highly placed it is. It's like being your advertising, your marketing agency. All right, you've got your corporate executive, your chairman of board and all of that, and then immediately under that you have your sales manager and your marketing department. In any form of government patterned after the city commission type, the planning board is usually assigned to one department. For example, the city of Trenton, New Jersey has a commission form of government. Five commissioners are elected at large, and each is assigned a number of municipal functions. As the position of the mayor is honorary and relatively meaningless, planning must follow the pattern of other municipal functions and be assigned to one of the commissioners. And of course, we talked about this yesterday. We'll talk about it again tomorrow. The foreign trade zones, the economic development zones, all of that, the DREAM Act. There is also the possibility of creating a complete department of planning with a staff, just as there is a department of engineering. Some feel that planning should be the responsibility of elected officials and should be carried out by a department rather than a separate board or a commission. The overwhelming majority of those concerned with planning, however, are of the opinion that the planning function can best operate as a separate agency, given its own budget and enabled to hire its own staff. Basic axioms in government: move up, move out, or die. In order for a government agency, a newly created agency, to grow, in order for those people that have been hired to ever move up in the grades, pay grades, they need to prove themselves to be inefficient. They have got to be able to advance the maxim that we're overworked, we're understaffed, and we're underpaid. That way, every year, they exhaust all of their budget. They always need more room, more computers, more tables, more desks, more chairs, more telephones. They need more people, a bigger room, a bigger budget, increasing taxes on you and you and you. And the bigger these albatrosses become, the more difficult they are to excise out of the body politic like a cancerous growth. And they become more and more and more powerful. They split off into sub-agencies and subgroups. And the next thing you know, these collectivists run your town. You can go back and look at the University of Chicago, Metro 1313, and find out how that model was advanced. So much to consider in all of this. The proper liaison between the officials and the people of the community can be achieved for the planning program. So many things to think about, so little time. I'll be back again tomorrow with Vicki Davis. Hope you'll be there too. And until the next time, good day.
Taking it back one precinct, one county, one state at a time. You've been listening to Become Vocal Local.
The Oracle Broadcasting Radio Network is on a mission to bring you the best in cutting-edge talk radio. Oracle Broadcasting is a true beacon of free speech, uncensored news, and relevant information that depends on the support of listeners just like you. You can help us expand our reach and inform the masses. Promote the network by clicking the Socialize link on the left-hand side of the OracleBroadcasting.com website. Using the simple tools provided, it is easy to spread the word about Oracle Broadcasting on social networking websites, blogs, news feeds,
and many other ways with just one click. You can also help by becoming an Oracle Broadcasting member today. For just $5 a month, you get access to the member's stream that allows you to listen to all of the great shows from Oracle Broadcasting in 128K stereo CD audio quality. To find out more, go to OracleBroadcasting.com. And thank you for listening to the Oracle Broadcasting Radio Network.
You know the Constitution like the back of your hand. You've read books, listened to podcasts, attended lectures, surfed websites, and watched videos. You've made liberty your life's goal, but something seems to be missing.
Stickers from LibertyStickers.com. Exercise your freedom of speech with the world's most dangerous bumper stickers. That's LibertyStickers.com.
But wait, there's more.
You can buy Liberty stickers wholesale. Get them for 99 cents each when you put 100 or more in your shopping cart in any combination. Sell them or give them away. They're great for gun shows, flea markets, fairs, outreach, and more. Earn extra money, promote freedom, and spread the word. Need custom stickers, labels, or decals for your organization or business? Liberty Stickers makes them. Go to LibertyStickers.com to order or call 877-873-9626. LibertyStickers.com, the world's most dangerous stickers.
Does ordinary talk radio give you the laws?
Blah, blah, blah!
This ain't your daddy's talk radio. OracleBroadcasting.com.